live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Well, I think I know what's up. For most of my listeners who are Michigan State fans, you are not happy today. On this Monday, September 16th, 2019, you are not in a great mood. I know as we hit, the 1 o'clock hour here on this Monday, that you have had numerous conversations with your coworkers at the water cooler about what happened at Spartan Stadium on Saturday afternoon and evening and what we witnessed. What was supposed to be a celebratory moment. You know, you had so many former players coming from out of town, driving and flying into East Lansing. You even had all of the past Sparty mascots who were in town on the field. You know, I'm pretty sure they had a tribute video ready from Michigan State Athletics. Ready to roll all of that in. And to celebrate, maybe there was some confetti. You know, I don't know, some helicopter was going to fly over and, you know, sprinkle some confetti on the field. Who knows? Who knows what they had planned? But I'm pretty sure they had some stuff planned, some special stuff planned. After Michigan State, which was favored by 14 points in that game against Arizona State. After Michigan State, which was supposed to win against Arizona State, giving Mark D'Antonio his 110th win as the head coach of the Michigan State football program, becoming the all-time winningest coach in program history, passing the great Duffy Doherty. That's what was supposed to happen on Saturday. That's what was planned. But, of course, that didn't happen. Herm Edwards right now has Coach D'Antonio's number. Now 2-0. Against Michigan State. This is supposed to be a revenge game. We all know what happened last year in the desert on the West Coast. Michigan State losing to ASU. And you felt good about it, I know, because the week prior to, you saw Michigan State's offense put up 51 points, kind of putting to bed all of the criticism that that offense had after the Tulsa game. It felt good coming into that game. And then it all went out the window in a matter of minutes. Those final 2 minutes of Michigan State and Arizona State are going to leave a very bad taste in your mouth for a long, long time. I think this game, the way it happened, the collapse in those final 2 minutes, I think it was so jarring that we have to have some really tough conversations about this program right now. I don't know if I'm going to dive into it today, but I want to address the take that I've seen from many of you Spartan fans out there that maybe Michigan State should start looking for a new head coach of the football team. I'm going to try my hardest to put a pause on that conversation and address it on tomorrow's show. That doesn't mean you can't. But the question I do have for you all today is whether or not the Mark D'Antonio magic is gone.
have we seen the best that we are going to see from Magic Mark? And is it time to move on? I don't know. If you want to tackle that right now, be my guest. Because that collapse in those 2 minutes cannot happen. And I'm going to go through and explain to you how I saw things. I was right there down on the field, you know, alongside Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio. As we were watching this, and I nudged Jack and said, I feel like this is going to turn out to be a loss. I nudged him and said that to him. I said, this does not feel right. You know, this Michigan State team, they're dropping eight. They're rushing three. Jaden Daniels had shown, you know, some capacity here and there to just put the ball on the ground and say, all right, if you're going to give me grass, I am going to take it. That was the wrong move. That was the wrong move of many wrong moves. And I think there's equal blame to go around here. On Mark D'Antonio's shoulders, on his coaching staff's shoulders, and the players. Plenty of blame to go around in this loss. So what I want to do, you know, I usually around this time say, oh, well, you know what time it is? You know how we start this party? No, we're changing things up. The DJ is spinning a new tune right now, and I just want to dive right into this. We'll get to the headliners later on this hour, but I want to treat this conversation with the respect that it deserves. And for some of you Michigan State fans out there listening, we'll treat this as a therapy session for you guys who need to get some things off your chest after what happened on Saturday. All right, so headliners, we'll press pause on those. And we'll dive right into this conversation. Michigan State losing to Arizona State.
You got another play and then won it?
After review,
it's 12.
Michigan State had 12 players on the field when the ball was snapped.
Wow.
That's a foul for illegal substitution. 5-yard penalty. Replay, fourth down.
Got to do it again. 47 rather than 42. Okay, he hooked it. The jumper. Arizona State wins it.
Let's get right to it. In a moment, I'm going to play to you a bit of what Mark D'Antonio had to say after the loss to Arizona State. You'll also hear from three of the players that we got a chance to chat with during post game. You'll get a chance to hear from quarterback Brian Lewerke. You'll also get a chance to hear from Raekwon Williams, defensive lineman, as well as David Dow of that Michigan State defense. All right, before we get to those sound bites, I need to treat this as a therapy session, I feel like, for me. Because witnessing that game firsthand, I was a bit stunned, just like many of you were. You know, so many people coming back in town, you know, because If you don't have a field photographer pass, the media doesn't get to go down on the field until about 5 minutes left in the game. So when I got down there with about like 4 minutes left, and I'm slapping fives and seeing players I haven't spoken to in a while, but I covered when they were here at Michigan State, you know, and I shout out to my man Otis Wiley. He came up to me and dapped me up. Just so many players back, ready, amped to celebrate Mark D'Antonio's win number 110. And then, now looking at how this whole thing transpired, folks, you know, Jaden Daniels, true freshman quarterback for Arizona State, Jaden Daniels, in his first true road test, I could not believe the defensive game plan that Michigan State had to try and slow down and stymie that offense to pull out the win. I mean, Jaden Daniels, all the dude did, if he wasn't throwing for like 5-7 yard dink and dunks, he was getting outside the pocket and putting the ball on the ground. That's it. So it amazed me on fourth and 13 or so, I couldn't believe how there was no pressure put on him. I mean, this is a true freshman quarterback, folks. First road test, going against a defense that's pretty good, if you haven't heard. Or at least, you know, put somebody in a QB spy. Put one of the linebackers in a QB spy to make sure that if he sees nothing downfield and tries to use his feet to pick up that first down, you got somebody that can at least make an effort at tackling him. That didn't happen. And that mistake led to a first down. And then Arizona State finds itself in prime position to score. And at first, in real time, I didn't think that the Arizona State running back, I believe it was Eno Benjamin who scored that touchdown, right? That go-ahead touchdown for the Sun Devils. Eno Benjamin, you know, in real time, it did not look. Okay, again, it's tough looking at that game from field level, you know, looking at certain plays from field level. I didn't think he got in, and I'm sitting there next to other fellow media members, and they're saying, no, he didn't get in. Then they show the replay, and, yeah, he got in, folks. You know, he stretched out. His knee didn't hit the ground. The ball crosses the plane. I don't care what happened after that, but that ball crossed the plane, touchdown Arizona State. And we were even sitting there debating, saying, oh, man, well, at this point, should Michigan State just let the Sun Devil score at this point to make sure they have enough time on the clock to make some magic happen possibly? We were sitting there debating that. And then also the burning of the two timeouts. Michigan State had no timeouts on that final drive to try and put itself in position to go ahead with a touchdown or to kick a game-tying field goal. You know, the burning of the two timeouts is like, man, that really hurt. But then I'm sitting there saying to myself, okay, if you this moment is so big, if you see something you don't like, call the timeout. Because you don't want to look back at it, you know, with regrets. So that's kind of a catch-22. There are people complaining about that. You know, and you could hear, it was so loud in the stadium. You could hear the crowd going so crazy. You just felt like this defense was going to just rise to the occasion. If the ball was hiked and you didn't call a timeout and possibly hold the Sun Devils to nothing. But they burned the two timeouts. Hindsight is 20-20, and now you have no timeouts on that final drive. And then Brian Lewerke, you know, he hooks up with Daryl Stewart. You know, they go down the field. They get in field goal range. You know, they rush out Matt Coughlin. Now, before that, can we address this? Another coaching mistake here. You had 11 seconds on that clock. Where is the trust in your starting quarterback, the leader, captain of this team? Where is the confidence to, okay, you got 11 seconds. That's a lot of time. Where's the confidence to say, all right, Brian, you got 11 seconds. Let's at least take one shot at the end zone. Just one shot. Why not? The lack of trust, that showed a tremendous lack of trust in Brian Lewerke. Now, Brian, we talked to him after the game, and Brian said, yeah, I was hoping that I would get a shot. 11 seconds, yeah, I would have liked a shot at possibly throwing it downfield for a touchdown. Or, where's the trust in your coaching staff, in you, to say, all right, if there's nothing there, I'm mindful that we only got 11 seconds. Let me throw the ball out of bounds to stop the clock, or just get it out of my hands, throw it to the dirt with the receiver in the vicinity, obviously, to stop the clock. We got enough time to usher out Matt Coughlin for a field goal try. 11 seconds? Really? Couldn't believe that. Now, apparently, again, I think Brad Salem, too. Brad Salem, he wanted, according to Brian, I believe, he wanted to, you know, all right, let's take a shot. But Coach D was like, no. Let's throw out Matt Coughlin and let's tie this baby and let's go to overtime. And then the moment that you all are talking about, Matt Coughlin goes out there. And the thing is, it happened so quick, that first kick happened so quick that I don't think Matt Coughlin, he didn't have enough time to think about it. It was just like kind of like clockwork, like, all right, here we go, game time. Bang. Money. We go to overtime. And then the weirdness happened. It was just like, I've never seen this before. I didn't even know you could do this. But the ball goes through. You heard the announcers say, hey, bangs it. All right, go to overtime. Whoa, wait a minute. You know, because it was so weird. The ball goes through, and then, you know, the referees, they throw a flag. Then the flag is picked up. They say there's no penalty on the field. The kick is good. And then there's this long stoppage in which all of a sudden we're watching the referees go to the replay. And lo and behold, I haven't gone back and seen this, but they say it was 12 men on the field. All right. 12 men on the field. Let's re-kick this thing. And I looked really closely at Matt Coughlin when I was standing next to Jack on the field. And it just looked like, you know, you just felt it. You just felt it. You felt like something was going to go wrong here. And Matt was talking to himself. I could see through his helmet, you know, face mask, and he was like saying something to himself. I don't know what he was saying, but he was saying something to himself. And I just think he was overthinking it. And then you saw the miss. You saw what happened from there. And then, because I didn't see it in real time, but there's an umpire whose job is to look at this to make sure that there's no player on the opposite end who's like diving and jumping over the line, hurdling the line. Ump didn't see it. Replay shows that, yeah, that was clearly a guy who just jumped over the line. You can't do that. That should have been a flag. They missed it. Kick is no good. Michigan State loses. And the energy and the disappointment that was on the face of the fans and those players, it's hard to describe. It was just, I saw a few players to my left just collapse on their knees and just look down and saying, oh, I saw fans just, I looked up, because I like taking in moments like that, big moments like that whenever I'm covering a game. And I looked up and I saw fans just staring into nothingness. Like, did this really just happen? And Herm Edwards, shout out to Herm Edwards. He's a classy guy. He really is. You know, you saw it on the broadcast. He went up to Coach D'Antonio and said something. We don't know what he said, but he said something in his ear. And, you know, I'm going to post this on our Facebook page later, but I got really great video of Herm after he got done with his interview with Fox. His family was there, and he embraced them and said, you know, he was saying some things, but he's just so humble. And then the Arizona State fans who were there, you guys went crazy. Deservedly so. You went insane. And they had like the Sun Devil what do you call it? The spike thing, you know, the big long
trident.
What is it? The trident?
Trident.
Thank you, Connor, for the correct term. I said the spike thingy. the trident. The Arizona State Sun Devils trident. You guys, you know, planted it in the ground in the end zone. I have no problem with that. You guys won. You deserve to do that. All right. Another stake gate? No, there's not a stake gate. A trident gate. They planted it in the field, and you guys went crazy. It was weird. That was a weird moment. And I don't know, man, but I've had conversations since that night. I don't know if Mark D'Antonio still has it. And can I address a few things here, though? For those blaming this game on the referees, shame on you. Shame on you. Will the realistic MSU fans please stand up? Please. Because if you looked at that game closely, you were favored by 14 points. Yet you made countless mistakes. Michigan State made countless mistakes that put them in that position to lose the game in crunch time. Did the referees blow the call? Yeah, and the Pac-12 came out with a statement. They've come out and issued an apology. I don't know. That's like, I don't even know why they do that. Why don't they even come out with these stupid apologies? It makes no sense to me. Yeah, we all know you screwed up, and now you have to come out and officially say, yeah, I screwed up. You know, it's like breaking up with your girlfriend, and you know you were in the wrong. Then you write her a letter to say, yeah, this is why it went wrong. We all know why. We don't need you to write a letter to explain why. Like, come on, man. So, anyway, they came out and admitted it. Yeah, it was a bad call, but everything that led up to that moment, Michigan State has problems scoring in the red zone, folks. There is a big problem there. I don't know what it is. Play calling, yeah, you can gripe on that. But the players got to go out there and execute, though, too, man. I saw multiple drop passes from Michigan State on Saturday. Matt Coughlin, I don't mean to harp on him, but you can't miss kicks, man. You got one job. You got one job. And your job is to go out there. And the thing is, coming into Matt Coughlin, it's weird having this conversation because he's usually a solid kicker. He came into that game against Arizona State 40 of 48 in his career. And then that happened on Saturday. Just weird. I don't know. What was it? Were they not ready? I don't know. Were they not locked in? Did they party too much at Rick's or Dublin the night before? Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what that was. Just weird. But you got one job, Matt. Put it through the uprights. You know, if you just make one of those before that blunder moment at the end of the game, we're talking a tie, and we're at the very least going to overtime. So that was frustrating. The drop passes were frustrating. And, oh, by the way, Spartan fans, yeah, I know the referees weren't the best. They were pretty bad on Saturday. But some of those penalties that were called on Michigan State were legit. Raekwon Williams, yeah, come on, dude. You know how much the game protects the quarterback today. You know, the hit in the face, you got to pull it back. Show some discipline there. Pull back. What's that, Connor?
That penalty was the illegal hands to the face was not for hitting the quarterback. It's because when he went up against the center, he jammed his hand up underneath the chin strap. No. It was a quarterback sack. So I think a lot of people assumed that was just a illegal hit on the QB. But if you go back and you watch it before the sack takes place, Raekwon jams his hand up inside of I think it was the center of the guard's lower part of his helmet. You can't do that as a defender. But
you sure they called it on that?
I'm pretty sure that's what they called. They called a legal hands to the face, which 9 times out of 10 means that it was a defender doing it to a lineman.
Regardless, and again, Tim Brando got that wrong on the broadcast because Tim Brando said, "Yeah, do you see the hit to the?" Because I had the broadcast going while I'm up here in the press box, and do you see the hit on the face? You can't do that. They're going to throw a flag every time. Well, Tim Brando got that wrong then. Regardless, though, he did. That's two penalties on the play. You could have caught him for both then. I mean, my goodness, you gotta realize, man, you can't do stuff like that. You know, then Cody White has two great returns that are called back for penalties. That can't happen. And then the Raekwon was so big, though, because that led to points. That led to that field goal. You know what I mean? And in that position, it's like, all right, if Arizona State scores a touchdown here, you're going to take the lead on Michigan State. So, and that's eventually what happened. But, the penalties on special teams, that can't happen. The holding penalties. You know, Michigan State, they're driving, and all of a sudden they have a holding, and they're staring at like a first and 20 or something crazy like that. That can't happen. I'm sorry, Connor Hayward, but he's not the guy anymore. I think we all know that. Okay, can we address that? When Connor Hayward played running back for Michigan State, when he was in on Saturday, that offense didn't move. And it was just like Michigan State, they kept putting him out there, and it was just you're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. It's Elijah Collins who should be the guy each. And if he needs a breather, I'm actually throwing in Ladarius Jefferson before Connor Hayward. No offense to him. But right now, this offense moves when Elijah Collins, who, by the way, had the lone touchdown for Michigan State on Saturday, it moves when he's the guy. Give him the football. I mean, that 4th-and-1 was cringy to watch. It's like, what? Really? And even with, Michigan State, by the way, they're down two offensive linemen in that game. They got hurt. I don't even know who the last guy was they put in. I forget who it was. We were sitting there saying, oh, they're putting this offensive line now together with just tape. But, you had two Michigan State offensive linemen go out that game. Tough. One of them, Jarvis. And it's just like, And with that being said, Elijah Collins was still, able to put together 72 yards on the ground, an average of almost 4 yards per carry on 19 carries. That's impressive. Elijah is that guy now. And then you look at this, and I really could not believe that Michigan State didn't at least give Brian just one shot at that end zone. I still am on that. There were mistakes. So as you see, there's so much blame to go around. The players made mistakes. They were just very undisciplined in that game. Matt Coughlin missing field goals. You had coaching blunders in crunch time. Not paying attention to Jaden Daniels. Plenty of blame to go around. And now you look at this. On a day which was supposed to be such a celebratory day, you're 14-point favorites, and you lose a game you should have won. I think we need to have the legit conversation whether or not the magic is gone from Coach D'Antonio, because this has been a few years now. We're sitting here saying, all right, well, is this team going to get it together? It's been some time since we've been legitimately talking about Michigan State as a Big Ten contender. And this is what happens. With great success comes great expectation. And when you have great success, it's a slippery slope, because fans out there expect you to continue to have that kind of success. And when you don't even come close, you are going to have naysayers out there. And I do believe that the fan base should hold its program accountable when you don't come close to that same success, because that's how elite programs are built. And if you want to be an elite program, those expectations have to stay high. But it's been a while since we talked about Michigan State winning a Big Ten championship and, the college football playoff. Remember that, right? Out in Arlington, Texas. And then you have a loss like this. I don't know. I think we do need to have the conversation. Again, I'm biting my tongue here because I want to save it for tomorrow, whether or not Michigan State needs to move on from Coach D. I'm gonna try my best to save that conversation for tomorrow. That doesn't mean you have to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I'm sure I haven't checked because I've been on this rant, but I'm sure many comments are coming through on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. or tweet the show at WKAR News. I got that off my chest. That's how I feel about this loss. And well, hold on. One more thing, Connor. One last thing, I promise you guys. After the game, you know, we wait for players and the coaching staff to come in. Usually, the coordinators walk in, hit the podium. We throw questions at the coordinators. Then Mark D'Antonio will walk in, or a few select players will come to the podium, and then Mark D'Antonio will walk in. That's usually the order. On Saturday, the only man who was at the podium was Mark D'Antonio. He spared his coaching staff. So we didn't hear from Mike Tressel. We didn't get a chance to interview him. And we didn't get a chance to fire questions at Brad Salem. I really feel like Mark sometimes babies his staff way too much. He's too loyal. Let them face the music. Let them answer the questions, the tough questions. Yes, you lost a game in which you were favored. You tremendously dropped the ball. Let them face the music, Mark. Don't baby these guys. These are grown men. They can take it. And if they have aspirations of at one point in their careers becoming head coaches at a certain program, then they are going to have to answer questions like that at some point in their career. I wasn't feeling that. I wasn't feeling that. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll get thoughts from Connor Mathis. I'll read a few of your comments coming in at Facebook.com/currentsports. If you want to call in, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. A little Earth, Wind, and Fire for you. September. This is not a September to remember so far, Connor. This is a September to forget for Michigan State football fans out there. My goodness. Many people watching our live stream right now. Shout out to Mike, Alex, Troy, Jonathan, Darius, Ben, Elihu. I see you guys. Thank you guys so much. Mike says, I can give you 12 reasons why Michigan State lost. And it wasn't just the last penalty. Preach on, Mike. Would love to hear your reasoning there. Ben, don't be that guy. Ben, please. I get it. It's the easy thing to do. You're hurting right now. It's the easy thing to do to point at the referees because they weren't great. We all know that. And you can point at the whole situation with 12 men on the field and they missed the hurdling call. I get it. You're hurting. I get it. That's the easy peasy thing to do. But when you look at the entire game, Ben, Michigan State did not show up. Michigan State's offense looked bad. The play calling at times was questionable. The penalties. I mean, we could go on and on and on. So Ben has written a Charles Dickens novel about the whole the whole officiating, Connor. And I won't even go into it. I kind of explained it before we hit that first break. Ben, just look. What happened the first three quarters and some change? You know, it's just like, stop giving Michigan State excuses here. We have to stop doing that. Hold this team accountable. Alex comments and says, and I agree, we've been saying this since, you know, for a couple of years now. I feel like Coach D needs to reassess his staff. I don't think moving on is the answer. So he says he does not believe Michigan State needs to let go of Coach D'Antonio. Connor, you listen to me jabber for the last like 30 minutes now. Your thoughts, what say you on what you saw? And by the way, Connor, bittersweet, we announced this last week, but Connor will be leaving us soon. He is Going to be moving on to bigger and better things. Hopefully he doesn't forget the little people. But you got a job. You got a J-O-B, and you'll be starting in less than 2 weeks now, right?
Yeah, give or take. I got to find a place to live.
There you go. That's awesome. We'll make that announcement and give you the details later on. But, Connor, thank you so much for being on this Monday edition of Current Sports as our engineer. Your thoughts on MSU-ASU?
So, you know, the easy route here would be to blame the officials. Another really easy scapegoat here would just be blame the offense. But, I think you got to blame the coaching staff. And I think the opposing coach, Herm Edwards, said it best.
Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
You know, okay.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. I need someone to explain this to me. You are, if you're Michigan State, you're down.
Yo, that's so fitting.
You're down 3-0 for most of the game, and I'm watching play calling, and I'm watching plays of a team that is up 21-3. They're playing not to lose, and this has been a problem with Michigan State, I think, since the playoff run. They play not to lose instead of playing to beat the heck out of the other team. You cannot be down in a game and play this clock management BS. That's ridiculous. Yeah. You can't do that. You're giving the other team all the opportunity they need because, okay, if I'm Arizona State, I'm up 3-0. The other team's playing clock possession, all that fun stuff. I don't have to do much. I just need to make a couple first downs. And, oh, look at that. Half the quarter's gone. And then when you're Michigan State and you finally do go up, you finally go up 7-3, instead of, you know, that's a four point lead. Again, respectable lead, but you still need to put points on the board. Where is the killer instinct? It's again this play not to lose. We got to make sure we have, you know, the possession split, you know, relatively evenly. But Michigan State still at 33 minutes possession. We got to make sure we own possession because that makes a difference. You're right. It does make a difference when your offense is scoring points. And if your kicker is struggling for whatever reason, I personally think a lot of his kicking struggles came because, at least for the first couple of kicks, it was on the first kick he was closer in, and then a penalty was called and got moved back. It messes with, you know, the approach. It's like shooting a free throw. If you're shooting a free throw and then suddenly a foul gets called, your motion gets interrupted for whatever reason it may be, it's getting ahead in your head a little bit. But, you know, I just don't understand the resistance of this coaching staff and the resistance of this program to go out and play like you're trying to win. You know, last week against Western, they played like that. When Western had a good drive, they responded with a touchdown. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me to play this ultra-conservative football when you're down for most of the game, and then when you're only up by four. It's a huge problem. It makes so much opportunity. And the other thing that I think Michigan State did late that was wrong was they took a page out of the Lions playbook from the first week where we saw the Lions were up against Arizona, right, against a rookie quarterback, never played any NFL time. And you know what they did in the third quarter? They pulled the pressure back and they said, you know what, let's let them beat us. Michigan State did that in the end of the game. You had this freshman quarterback who had a decent game, you know, 15 for 26, 140 yards. That's a decent game, but that's nothing to be like, whoa, watch out, this guy is this is Tua Tagliola we're playing against. No. And then you pull back the pressure on him. You know he's a runner. If I'm going to be beat by a running quarterback, I would much rather it be because I sent a couple linebackers in addition to my regular four-man front, and he just was athletic, and he got past me, and he got the first down. Because you know what? When you do that, at least you're burning the quarterback's energy. The quarterback has a moment where he's going to get winded. He's got to – not only does he just have to run for the 10, 15 yards, he's got to juke a defender. He's got to move out of the way. He's got to read the coverage. So it's exhausting. I don't understand why you would be running a prevent defense on 4th and 13.
Right,
if it
right.
was 4th and 20 or 4th and 30, I get it. I really do. You pull the guys back and you say, you know what, my three best linemen, they'll handle it. They'll just keep them contained. But you can't do that on 4th and 13 with a mobile quarterback because even if your three guys somehow get pressure, he can roll out to the right. He can roll out to the left. He can move around and dance while your coverage has to run around hoping that the quarterback gets hit when there's three guys rushing. So I don't understand that.
Yep.
I will say the offense is not without blame. Granted, they had 400 yards.
Yeah, that's
the thing. Which is great.
That's the thing, Connor. You look at the final yardage in comparison of both teams. I mean, Michigan State outgained Arizona State in yards. 188-yard advantage, 404 in total yards for Michigan State, 216 for ASU, and you still only put up seven points
in a
loss?
It's the first time that's happened since 2014.
Wow.
To any team. But I have all the stats right here. Michigan State, more efficient on third down. Fourth down efficiency, 50%, which is pretty good for fourth down efficiency. Let's see. Passing, they outgained them there. Completion to attempts, outdid them. Passing yards per pass, outdid them there. Yards per rushing attempts, outdid them there. Yards per rush with a hurt offensive line, outdid them there. And they had one fumble turnover, which was a sack on the quarterback, which, you know what? I'll give Brian Lewerke a pass on that because he got hit.
All the stats. If I was to give you those stats without even giving you the final score, you would have said, oh, Michigan State at least put up 20 points.
Michigan State at least won by 14.
Exactly.
But, you know, the offense did a great job. They're not without blame. There were drop passes. There was some poor execution. There were some times where, you know, plays were just missed. But, you know, at some point, you just got to convert some of those things. And I think, and going to the play calling, I think it's on the play calling, too, because they're running, and I was having this conversation with my friends, they're running an Ask Madden playbook. There's nothing creative. There's no imagination. Western Michigan, it looked like he was actually picking out the plays. You know, we see this, so now we're going to run a little creative with the routes. No, these are generic plays. I get, you got to set up a rhythm, but slants every play doesn't work. Flats every play doesn't work. Running it up the middle every play does not work. If you're going to run up the middle, run a misdirection, run a counter, run a trap. Do something a little imaginative so it's a little bit harder for the defense. And then finally, the officiating. Yes, they were bad. I think there needs to be another point of emphasis that this is the Pac-12 officiating. The Pac-12 has had a problem with officiating for years now.
Yep.
I fully agree with fans that say something needs to be done to be addressed because this is ridiculous. A Power 5 conference with officials that are this historically bad and consistently bad, and all we get are these lame duck apologies after the fact. Some people need to get fired. Some people need to get the boot. Yep. I've said this multiple times. I said it when it happened to the Saints. Officials need to be held to a higher standard, but to blame the referees exclusively for this loss is ridiculous.
It is, and that's the thing. There definitely needs to be a change when it comes to what's happening with these Pac-12 officials, because, again, it's been a consistent problem. That's all I read on Twitter. But at the end of the day, Michigan State had plenty of opportunities to win this game. We've got some comments coming in. Mike says ASU had a good game plan that kept them in the game and used the talents of the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. MSU didn't adapt to take the QB's legs out of the game. Exactly. That's the point we've been hammering home. Ben harping on the officials again. The head official from the Pac-12 admitted earlier today that the officials that officiated our game on Saturday messed us over, and he will hold them accountable. Yeah, we'll see.
No, he won't.
Yeah, he will not hold them. They're going to be doing another game.
It takes an actual conference to sit down and say, look, these guys, they need to go through more training. They need to be. There needs to be some more punishment. The head of officiating is going to be for his guys. So don't read too much into this.
No,
the head of officials is going to look into it. Come on,
it's political talk. They sound like a politician every time they do that. Alex says 12 men on the field. The special teams coach needs to be fired. Mike says second. Mm-hmm. MSU had a lack of discipline. 10 penalties for 91 yards. Yeah, I mean, even though some of those calls are like, most of them, I'm looking at the broadcast. It's kind of hard to see everything being up from that bird's eye view in the press box. But what I saw on the broadcast, Michigan State had some clear penalties that were like, oh my goodness, you cannot. Mess your team over like that. So
I'd say about 60-40. Michigan State made about 60% of the penalties were Michigan State mistakes. And about 40% were just bad.
Yeah.
Just
what I want to do right
calls.
Now, I want to play to you what Coach Mark D'Antonio, a bit of what he, again, it's only, I'm going to play 5 minutes of what Coach D'Antonio had to say when he walked into the room after the game. Here is Mark D'Antonio facing the music. When it comes to us media members after the loss to Arizona State.
Initially, we're going to try and take a shot to the end zone. The clock was going to run. We have no more timeouts. The clock was going to run, so we spiked it. But then the 42nd clock was running. Initially, we were going to try a shot down there. And then I said, hey, we need to kick it. Because if we catch the ball, the game's probably over. If we catch the ball and we're not in the end zone, the game's probably over. Line up and kick it. And our field goal kicker was a little late, sort of watching. And so he runs out. The clock's ticking down. He still makes the field goal, but I'm not sure how. You know, we had injuries on the offensive line. I think maybe one guy stayed in. I'm not sure. I haven't seen the film. I know that they reviewed it and said there was no foul, and then they reviewed it again, so I'm not sure. Maybe you guys have seen it. Then we line up again, kick the field goal. They try and hurdle us. That should be a penalty. Call no penalty. It's not reviewable. But that's just to get to overtime. You know, there's a lot of opportunities prior to that where we could have won the football game. So, I think that they need to take a good hard look at the officiating. And that's all I'll say, because there was some disputes out there. So that's all I'll say about that, because you got to play the game.
Mark, what was the reason for taking the timeouts when they had the ball, the dead ball situation, instead of keeping one in case they scored?
Well, I thought it was going to come down that last series, really the timeout, we didn't need the timeout anyway because we could spike the ball, spiked it, and stopped the clock. It was on the 42nd clock. And also wanted to make sure, because we were so concerned about the quarterback scrambling, we were trying to look at the formation that they were running and make them change that formation. So we took the timeouts to make sure that we were going to be aligned up correctly and make them change a couple different formations. Same thing that they did, really, except they did it on the offensive side. They used their timeouts. Just trying to make sure we're lined up correctly, figure out whether we're going to pressure or not, how we're going to handle number three on the screen if he screens it, how we're going to keep the quarterback in the box knowing that he's going to scramble. And that's what he did on fourth and 14, scrambles for the first down. And that should not happen. So there's a lot of different things, there's a lot of different things that we need to look at. But a lot of good plays out there. But at the end of the day, you got to win a football game. You got to win. That's the deal.
Mark, I know you doesn't sound happy with the officiating, but 10 penalties again after it seemed like it kind of fixed itself last week.
Yeah.
Just your thought on those mistakes that were made today.
Well, I gave you some of my thoughts on it. And I'm not one to stand up here and criticize officials. I never have. So I'll let everybody take a look at those. The people who should be looking at those can take a look at those. In other words, the officiating groups themselves, I'll let them handle that. I'm not going to go off on that. But there were a lot of things that set us back. Some of them were in question. We get a fumble recovery. I didn't see a flag come out. We get a fumble recovery, and then all of a sudden flag's out, when we just scored. So there's a lot of different things you can look at. I'm sure you guys look at them a little closer than I will. We have to get on to the next challenge, and that'll be Northwestern at away. We got three out of the next four away games, so we will be challenged, and we need to get ourselves right. But got a lot to play for. Yeah.
Mark, could you sort of describe, what the mood was like in the locker room and also your message? I'm sure you probably realized a lot of guys were, motivated this game for your record and whatnot. I know you don't like talking about yourself.
Somber. It was somber in there. Nobody likes to lose. Nobody wants to disappoint anybody. I thought the enthusiasm was very good on the sidelines. I thought, playing hard, a lot of things going on. But as far as the message to our football team, it's life, another life message, man. You got to get up. You got to get off the ground. That's part of it. We've all had difficult days or things that didn't work out for us, and the next thing you're sort of trying to climb out of a hole a little bit. So, that's the nature of life, and that's what we do. That's coaching. That's teaching. That's this football. That's football.
Yeah, that's football. Three of the players we chatted with after the game, here is quarterback Brian Lewerke and defensive players Raekwon Williams and David Dowell.
Selfishly, obviously it sucks that we had to lose to ASU twice, being from Arizona, but in the long run, it doesn't really affect our Big Ten championship run. It's not Big Ten play. What really matters starts next week. So.
Are you discouraged by how it unfolded? I mean, you mentioned with the yards, but are there concerns that this isn't going to get it done in Big Ten play either?
Yeah,
that sort of feeling.
Just the fact, it could have been Coach C's record-breaking win. Senior year, I beat Arizona State. Just kind of start off 3-0. It just kind of sucks that wasn't able to happen.
Raekwon, with everybody back and 110 on the line, do you guys feel like you let Coach D down at all?
Not necessarily
let them down, but we definitely let ourselves down because we wanted that to happen. We know Coach D is not a thing that's about him type deal. And that's why we wanted to win it so much for him type deal.
A loss is a loss, you know what I'm saying? And we have another opportunity to
get that win.
Yeah, get that win for Coach D next week. You know, so that's my whole perspective on it. It's like, just move on to next week.
You could sense that this place was bracing for a celebration. There were former players on the sideline. You could sense the letdown, couldn't you?
I'll just say it would have been nice to get it at home. You know what I'm saying, in front of our fans, in Spartan Stadium. But like I said, we got to prepare for next week. We can't, you know, wallow in the past and you know, feel sorry for ourselves. We got to keep moving.
Is it sticking your craw defensively that scored the touchdown, offense didn't go ahead, and you couldn't stop them and close it out?
You're talking about as far as us on defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we always pride ourselves on finishing finishing games, and we didn't do that. We didn't do enough to win, basically, and that's just what it comes down to.
Yeah, that last voice, David Dow, the voice before his, Raekwon Williams, and that first voice, quarterback Brian Lewerke. They do feel like they did let Coach D down. And yeah, for Brian, you know, he's from Arizona. So, you know, for him to lose twice in his career to Arizona State, that's got to sting a bit as well. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports. I'll try to have some weekend winners for you. That and more. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports as we have less than what? About 6 minutes left in the show. So, well, 5 minutes now. Time flies, man. Time absolutely flies. And thanks to all of you who are tuned in right now and have been listening throughout this hour. You know, I promised two brothers, too, on my walk back. Jack and I, we were walking back from Spartan Stadium to drop off the equipment here at the College of the Communication Arts and Sciences building. And we ran into two fans of the show. I promised Robert and JT that I would give them a shout out. And they had, boy, you should have seen the tailgate setup that they had, Connor. They had a Benz, one of those like Benz trucks, and open up in the back and a big screen TV, like a huge TV. It had to be like at least 50-inch TV, like showing games, and they had food outside, and they offered us some food. It was just, I didn't eat anything, but, you know, we were like, thanks, but no thanks. But they were just really, really cool, and they said, hey, we listen to you all the time. So shout out to Robert and JT. I promise you guys I would give you a shout out. And thanks to everybody who tuned in to today's show on Facebook at facebook.com/WKAR News as well. And definitely want to give a shout out to Steven, who has not been feeling the best. So I'm glad to see that Steven is doing better. I've been following Steven and his health hurdles on Facebook. So glad to see you're feeling better, Steven. Okay. With 4 minutes left here, weekend winners. I think the obvious one here, Connor, the Lions won. The Lions
are still undefeated.
They're still undefeated. They beat the L.A. Chargers yesterday. It came down to the wire. Phillip Rivers made a just really stupid throw, really. That was really dumb. And Darius Slay comes up with the interception, even though he was picked to one all game by Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers to Keenan Allen, that was the love connection they had going all game. Slay was beaten multiple times by Keenan Allen, but on that last play, I guess Darius Slay got the last laugh. So my weekend winner award goes to Darius Slay and the Detroit Lions. Again, they're still undefeated, even though there's that tie there. It should have been a win against the Arizona Cardinals. They still find a way to win, and they are undefeated. They, though, I don't know how long that's going to last because they take on the Eagles this weekend. So, and I watched the Eagles and Falcons game last night. That was pretty entertaining. And at the end of the day, though, the Falcons got that dub. So the Eagles will be foaming at the mouth to make sure they get a win this weekend. That's going to be a anyway, just celebrate the win. Lions got the win against the Chargers. You got a weekend winner.
I saw a tweet that was like along lines of like, man, it was a big weekend for kickers messing up and poor officiating.
Right?
It was a big weekend for that.
And kickers in Michigan, though, specifically, did you see that, you know, Prater and who was the kicker for?
Prater, it's their punter. It was in there for their kicker.
Yeah.
And he
right.
was just.
It was bad. It was really bad. So they got some of the Matt Coughlin.
I don't know. Something was in the water this weekend. But anyway, my weekend winner would be anyone who bet the Patriots to cover because they still whop the Dolphins.
Dude,
so
how are you
tank
a Dolphins fan still?
Tua.
How are you a
because
Dolphins
we're gonna get
still,
Tua
Connor?
At the end of the year and I'm gonna be much better off, and by the time that they're back in relevance, Tom Brady will hopefully be retired. So we're in a good spot right now.
I don't know how you do. I thought being a Lions fan was depressing. Dude,
oh, we get a stupid upset or a playoff appearance every so often, so it becomes manageable. It's not like the Lions where it's constantly getting stabbed. Occasionally, the Dolphins will surprise you. I'm projecting they're going to go 0-15-1 just because I don't think that's ever been done before. So
0-15-1.
Yeah, we'll tie the Giants.
That's hilarious.
Everyone's competing for the bottom.
That's a pretty funny projection there. Also, Antonio Brown got his first touchdown as a New England Patriot yesterday. If you have not read the in-depth feature done by Sports Illustrated this morning on Antonio Brown, give it a read. I read the entire piece this morning. And just give, Connor, have you done that? You read it yet?
I got about halfway through it.
Okay. Yeah, just keep going. Just keep going. I'll just leave that at that. Also, some breaking news. Ben Roethlisberger, he will have to have season-ending elbow surgery. Tough news for all of you Steelers fans out there. And Drew Brees of the New Orleans Saints, he could miss 6 weeks due to that throwing hand being injured by Aaron Donald.
Teddy time.
Yeah, exactly right, exactly. So, all right, folks, we'll see you same time, same place on the Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.